Meredith is one of our elders, Coast Community. And let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I pray over Meredith. I pray over our community and our congregation and our space here and our gathering. That let your word be spoken. Lord, let your spirit make it land where it needs to land in every aspect, every space where it's meant to be. And we give you great thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Renia. Well, good morning, church. It's a privilege to be here with you. We're continuing today with the Sermon on the Mount. We started in February. No, yeah, it was roughly about February. With these verses. One day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. Jesus is teaching the crowd and the disciples. And in some ways, this is the beginning of the disciples' apprenticeship or training under Jesus. Now, this is a long sermon. So I have to assume these people kind of went home and were struck by different things. I don't know about you, but my short-term memory is not that fantastic, neither is my long-term memory. But there was a lot of content in this sermon. We've been here for like 38 weeks on the one sermon. And I wonder what you've been changed by over these last weeks. My prayer for today is that the Holy Spirit will highlight one thing from the Word, from the living Word and the words that are spoken now. Let's turn to today's passage. We're actually in a new chapter. But as I said before, this is the one sermon. Matthew 7, 1 to 6. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, "Well, let me help you get that out," when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, get rid of the log in your own eye, and then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. An interesting six verses. You're looking forward to this? All right, before I kind of launch into today's passage, I wanted to introduce myself a bit to you. Renia mentioned that I'm an elder here at Coast Community. These are my people. I work on the reception desk at Coast Christian School a couple of days a week, and I'm kind of building a ministry in my other days in an effort to help people to hear God's voice. I've recently just produced a little product that has some prompts around creative journaling. That's kind of my thing. So bringing God's word on a Sunday is not something that I typically do. And the few times that I have done it, I've generally been speaking on a topic or something that God is speaking to me about personally. I don't have any earthly training to unpack scripture, so don't judge me. I do, however, have some kingdom training. I first gave my life to Christ at the age of 8. And the older I get, the more eager and enthusiastic I am to be taught by God. To be more like his son Jesus in the power of the Spirit. Let me just pray for us. Our Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we come before you this morning, the living God, and we offer you this moment in time, and we ask that you would meet with us. Lord, would we be attentive to your Spirit's leading and prompting? Would we pay attention to those thoughts that you drop into our mind? We thank you for your living word that puts our focus on you, the living God. Amen. All right, verse 1. Do not judge others, or you will be judged. I think it's pretty simple. Don't judge, you won't be judged. Probably don't need to say anything else, but I will. I actually chose this passage today because I had received some kingdom training around the truth of this verse. Yeah, I didn't read it. You got it? It will become clear later. Because the lesson that I learned was about the standard that you use to judge will be the standard that you are judged. But I want us to kind of eyeball what judgment is. The definition of judge is to form an opinion or conclusion about someone or something. Have you ever done this? All right, Leanne, I'm going to put you on your feet. Do you mind coming to scribe for me? I'm a visual learner. This is not really in the light, though, is it? Is that better? Yeah, all right. There are some pens behind you. Maybe go for black. I need some help. What are some of the things that you have been judged over? Or if you want to be completely honest, the things that you've judged others on. Shoot them out. Appearances. Just keep them coming. Your tattoo? So just under the line, thank you. Oh, I love somebody who... Okay, yep. Being outspoken. Appearance? Oh, parenting. Oh, that's a huge one. Parenting. Sorry? Character. Keep them coming. Leanne, you're doing great. That's okay. We'll jot them down. Yep. Yep. The words that we speak. Yep. Commitment to church. I think we need another scribe. Somebody happy to write? On you, Kristen. Thank you. Grab another pen. It can be just wherever under there. We've missed a few. Could someone yell out the ones we haven't written down yet? Tattoo, theology, we'll get the gist. I'm not all that fussed about spelling. What else didn't we get down? I feel like there was something else. Work ethic. Come on, a couple more. Sorry, age? Yep, our age. Yep, clothes you choose to wear. Sorry? Energy? Yeah. Yep, denomination. Doesn't matter if we double it up because I reckon there's variations of all these things. All right, anything else? Overeating, yep. Nationality. motives. Sorry? Failures. That's a good one. Humour. Yes, we do get judged on our humour. Yeah, qualifications. Oh, yeah. Yep, where you live, car you drive. I think we're kind of getting a bit of a picture, aren't we? That it's a... Yep, possessions. Performance. Is that what you said? Yep. Yeah, I know, going, Christian, this is wrong. Try again. I do get the gist. Part of the reason I'm not scribing, yeah, you can get judged on your spelling. Alrighty, that'll be great. Thanks, girls. I really appreciate your help. All right. If it's a group of people, this reflected us. This was actually all we did. We just judged people based on these things. What kind of culture would we create? I'm going to suggest today that our verses speak very clearly about planting and harvesting. The seed that you plant and grow is the harvest that you will produce. Plant judgment in your life. And judgment grows. If your culture as a community is judgy, that is the harvest that will come. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And I wonder, for those of you who think in pictures and are perhaps a little imaginative. What might happen if these things came up and grew, like all these things? What would it look like? Find my way back to the notes. Just keep that in mind as we're going. So I mentioned earlier that I selected this passage, I think I did, I might not have, based on the fact that I had learned some lessons about judgment. And let me share with you the space where God taught me the kingdom principle of do not judge, and introduced me to my plank so that I could see others differently and be more intentional and loving with the seeds that I planted. I was a heartbeat of 30 and had a 3.5-year-old daughter, and we were at the park. And I was doing a pretty normal mum thing. I'm pushing my daughter on the swing. And there was another woman at the park. And strangely, as I kind of look back, I don't recall her actually having a child with her. But that's kind of by the by. I do remember what she said to me. She asked, "Don't you think it's time that you gave your daughter a brother or a sister?" And I was like, "Yeesh, I think I've just been judged on my family planning." I didn't really want to reply that in the past 12 months, I'd experienced 2 miscarriages, and my plans to give my daughter a sibling had been unsuccessful. I had just been judged for having one child. Now, I don't recall if or how I responded, but I do recall that it was in that exact moment that God brought into my mind the thoughts I'd thought and the judgments I had made. Me, this nearly 30-something woman at the time, had for quite some time been judgmental about people who had one child. I had made a judgment that it was selfish to have one child. Now, I'm not sure if I'd ever spoken out loud about my judgment, but these judgments existed solidly in my thought life. And in that kid's playground, I found myself on the receiving end of my own judgment. What did verse 2 say? The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. Now, this was my moment. You may or may not be able to relate. But I want to give you a tip, something to watch out for. If you find yourself in a situation where you become offended, I want you to stop and ask the Spirit to reveal why. Why do you feel insulted, offended, or hurt? Because it just might be in this very moment that you might be able to hear and see what God wants to reveal about your log. Why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own eye? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your own eye and suggest to you that you have some more children, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. My moment in the park was my log moment. My log awareness moment, and recognizing it and owning it meant that I could finally see. My eyes were opened beyond what I could see in the physical to what lay behind the scenes in the invisible. I was undone about all that possibly lay behind people's lives that I could not see. And just like everyone everywhere, I need to keep surrendering my judgment when it arises, because I now knew that there was always more than met the eye. We make judgments based on what we see in the physical with our earthly eyes. But we can all have a level of spiritual blindness. Jesus describes it as a log. And he says, you've got one. It's significant blindness to ourselves. Let's shift gears from blindness to really seeing. Last year, as we worked our way through John, I became drawn in by this verse, John 5, 19. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And I remember coming before God and going, how do I do that? If it was necessary for Jesus to walk up onto a mountain and be by himself, to hear God, to see what the Father saw, then it has to be possible for me. How do I do it? And one of the most powerful prayers that I prayed after that was, God, help me to see what you see. Jesus never viewed people with earthly eyesight. He looked and saw what the Father saw. And I want to encourage us, we can too, if we ask. Verse 6, Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls and then turn and attack you. One commentary I read suggests that this verse refers to our God-given ability to love each other. And if we have the ability to love others and know that God has commanded us to love them, but we judge and criticize them instead, we have taken the holy thing, love, and cast it before pigs to be trampled. But I am no Bible scholar, and I actually came across commentaries that said quite different things. So I'm going to encourage you, if you feel compelled, to go and do some research on verse 6. And perhaps you might like to chat with your family and friends about what you see is the understanding there. Now I want to take our picture to something a little bit different. When I was praying, I actually went and did a labyrinth walk. Has anyone heard of a labyrinth? Yeah, one or two. Okay, there is a labyrinth at Kincumber at the St. Joseph's Centre down there. Anyway, so I'd been praying and I had a few leaves and things in my hands, and I felt like God was just saying, plant seeds of possibility. And I'm like, awesome. What do you mean? And I felt like he wanted us to imagine what his body of believers would look like if we lived into the fullness of life and power that God intended for us. And Renia mentioned the passage that we have healthy, growing, and full of life. And he even said, what would it look like if we were healthy, growing, and full of life? What if we listened and obeyed? What if we heard the Spirit's warning about how we judge and criticize and actually dealt with our planks, dealt with our spiritual blindness about our thoughts and actions? What if, rather than jumping to conclusions about others, we ask God what he sees and we speak that out? I wonder if, rather than this, we planted different things for a different harvest. This is not a very good raisin. All right, I'm not fussed about words that we can still see. All right, what if we planted some different things? Just super quickly, I'm going to try and just scroll over some of this. What if we planted different things? Can you give me some help? What if we planted love? Acceptance. Yeah. Oh. Sorry, what was the last thing? Empathy and kindness. Yeah. Hope. Yeah. Maybe healing too. I can imagine that what we grew as a community. Can't get rid of that. You're going to have to use your imagination. Is lush and beautiful. It's all right. It's all right. These people have got good imaginations. Look at these beautiful green shoots. Imagine what it might look like if, as a body of believers, we each lived into the fullness of life and power that God intended for us. Let me read to you a scripture from Ephesians. This is a prayer that Paul prayed about spiritual growth. And I think it can encourage us about what is possible. Would have been helpful if I'd marked it. Here we go. It's a prayer. So why don't you just close your eyes and hear these words and maybe see what God wants to speak to you this morning. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. On your seats are the scripture from today, and I have actually got a couple of places for you to write something down. I sometimes find if God has spoken something to me that it's helpful to collect that. And interestingly, what I wrote on the thing is not exactly what I wrote here. Where am I still blind? Where have I been judgmental? Where have I cast love aside and thought or spoken unkindly of those I could have loved? But there's a spot for you to write down perhaps what your plank is. If that's come to light as I've spoken, you might have gone, oof, I know one of those areas. Jot it down. And we're going to come to a time of communion. Where we remember that Christ has done everything that we might have life and life to the full. So I encourage you to come and collect the elements and then go back to your seats. And you might just want to sit in quietness for a little while. There's something beautiful about doing this in community. This is what this meal was designed for. When you come together, remember me and remember everything that he has done that you might have this life to the full. So come, take the elements and return to your seats. And take it when you're ready.